We're going to talk about the omnipresence of God this morning. And frankly, what I hope to do is explain what omnipresence is and then show what it means with regard to our human experience. So we're going to learn this morning about the God who is always here, always there, always there, always there, always everywhere. Omnipresence. Just as God is infinite with respect to time, the Bible teaches that God is everywhere present. His presence is unlimited, present in every part of space with his whole being. The psalmist, in this particular case, David, wrote in Psalm 139, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you." That's pretty amazing. Now, this is not to say that God's form is spread out so that the parts of him exist in every location. God is a spirit. He has no physical form. He's present everywhere in that everything is immediately in his presence. And at the same time, he's present everywhere in the universe. No one can hide from him, and nothing escapes his notice. The prophet Amos records God as saying that no one can hide from him. "Though they dig down to the depths of the grave, from there my hand will take them. Though they climb up to the heavens, from there I will bring them down. Though they hide themselves on the top of Carmel, there I will hunt them down and seize them. Though they hide from me at the bottom of the sea, there I will command the serpent to bite them." That's kind of interesting. In the book Jeremiah, God says, "Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth?" The Bible's clear that there's no place in the universe that's away from God's presence. His presence is everywhere. In Genesis 28:15-16, we reflect on Jacob's dream at Bethel. "Behold, I'm with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." Scripture testifies that God is both present in heaven and in earth at the same time. Deuteronomy 4:39 tells us, "Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other." In Jericho, Rahab the prostitute acknowledged, "When we heard of it, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is in heaven above and on the earth below." And in Proverbs we read, "The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good." Even the prophet Isaiah wrote, "This is what the Lord says, heaven is my throne and the earth my footstool. Where is the house you built for me? Where will my resting place be?" From the earliest times, people recognized that God saw them wherever they went. Hagar said she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me," for she said, "I now have seen the one who sees me." The idea that God is everywhere present is not the same as pantheism. God is the same as the universe. Pantheism equates God and the universe. God is in the trees. God is in the cows. God is in everything. This is what's being taught in our schools right now. They're bringing the creator down to the creation. And this is just false teaching. The doctrine of God's omnipresence says he is present everywhere in the universe, not that he is the universe. The fact that God is everywhere present should be a constant source of comfort for all of us as believers. Wherever we as believers go, we'll find ourselves in the protection of God's presence. There's no place where a believer can get away from God's reach. His presence may be experienced at any time and at any place. God has promised the believer that he is with them always. Isaiah 43:2 tells us, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. In the book of Hebrews, we read, for he himself said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. The universe that God created finds the Creator everywhere. He's everywhere present. There's no place that a person can hide, and no chance that a believer will be out of his protective care. He's everywhere present in his works and in his personality. That does not mean God is the same as the universe, merely that his presence is everywhere in the universe. The truth of God's omnipresence is comforting for us because no one can escape his notice. While we are rightly awed by the reality of God's universal presence in every inch of space, what we need most is the sense of his manifest presence here. His presence being near to bless us. We want a God who dwells with us and understands us and understands what it's like to live with us. According to the prophet Isaiah, we have such a God. For this is what the high and exalted one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. For 400 years, the Hebrews lived as slaves in the land of Egypt, surrounded by their pagan gods and their pagan culture. They must have felt like David when he wrote Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken us? For 400 years, they cried out day and night. God didn't answer them. In fact, he appeared to be silent. And yet God did hear them. He was with them and with an old man by the name of Moses on the backside of nowhere, 1,000 miles away. God says to Moses, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So Moses, now go. To let Moses know he doesn't go alone, God provides him with a staff that traveled with Moses everywhere he went, a staff that was used to call down plagues, to part the Red Sea, to win battles, to provide water in the desert, to hold himself and his people up when they were down. It was a sign of God's presence everywhere he went. God also let his presence be seen among these Hebrews in other ways, as a pillar of cloud to guide him during the day, and by night a pillar of fire to give him light. Before the tabernacle was built, God met with Moses in a temporary structure, a tent called the Tent of Meeting. In the law that God gave Moses, he provided specific instructions on how to build a place of worship so that he could be with his people and they could be with him. The Lord was present with the Israelites every step, every minute, every mile they wandered in the wilderness. And when it came time for Moses to be taken up and for Joshua to take over, Moses reassured him, and the Lord, he is the one who goes before. He will be with you. He will not leave nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. After Moses was taken up, the Lord himself told Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. One of the most vivid accounts of God's presence concerns Solomon, King Solomon, who built the first temple in Jerusalem. In 1 Kings 8:27, when Solomon was prepared to dedicate the temple, suddenly he had second thoughts. Will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I've built? And yet when Solomon dedicated the temple, the Bible says that fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. On the one hand, heaven and earth cannot contain God, yet his manifest glory came down to dwell within the temple and bless his people. Another way that God made people aware of his ever-abiding presence was through his prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and all the minor prophets. The Lord made this promise through his prophet Isaiah in 43, verse 1. Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. Comforting words in Psalm 23:4 should ring true in our hearts. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because his rod and his staff let us know he's right there with us. To the last prophet, Malachi spoke. God appeared to be silent once more. After 400 years, God did not send another prophet like Moses. He sent Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. This name, this title, is something to cherish and meditate upon every day. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. God is everywhere present, but he brought his presence down to us. In the upper room, Jesus told his disciples, "These things I've spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things." According to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is always with us because he lives with us and he lives in us. Jesus told us, "Be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." And he promised that wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, he will be there with them. I would say he's with us this morning because we have more than two or three. Regardless of where people are in their lives, a Sunday school teacher laboring to teach preschoolers about God's love, a godly pastor spending hours in prayer for members of his congregation, a bedridden elderly person who adopts a prayer ministry on behalf of loved ones, neighbors, and friends, or the godly parents who pray into the night about their prodigal son. God sees, God hears, and God knows, which also means he sees and hears and knows the wrong things we think we do in secret. You cannot just have him near for comfort and not for conviction. I'm sorry, it just doesn't work that way. We only fool ourselves if we think that no one will ever know. The scripture says that nothing in all creation can hide from him. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. This is the God to whom we must explain that all we have done. As David said in Psalm 139, there's no place where we can hide from God's eyes, from God's spirit. God sees, God is there. As believers, we may break our fellowship with God when we sin, but he does not break his fellowship with us. He is still dwelling within us, convicting us, helping us do what's right through his loving discipline, and waiting for us to repent of our wrongdoing. The Apostle Paul observed that no one, no circumstance could ever remove us from the presence of our loving God. Death can't, and life can't. Wherever we are, God is there. Nothing, no force, no power, no person in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that has been revealed to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Living in God's presence means realizing that God is with you everywhere and everywhere, 24/7, and that he is more concerned about every part of your life than you can possibly imagine. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your everlasting presence. We thank you that you were there in the old days, during the days of the Hebrews and the Israelites and the prophets. We thank you for your message throughout those times, and that your message stands true today, that you are present with us. You've given us the Holy Spirit to live within us. What could be more present than that, Father? And I pray that we would all acknowledge your presence on a daily basis. So often we get caught up in our daily lives that we forget to realize that you're right there sitting beside us, because that's who you are. That's how you love us and why you love us, Father. So we thank you for your everlasting presence. We thank you that you will never forget us or leave us. And we lift this up to you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, you got some questions on your table.